Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 327. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways that you can receive one at the end of the program. And please specify whether you want an audio tape or a CD. It's absolutely free, including the postage and handling. Everything is taken care of. We have some music today. By the Alamo Christian Quartet. We called them the Brothers Keepers. You know, I sang that song, "You are your brother's keeper." Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You are your brother's keeper. Yes, you are. But these Brothers Keepers are going to be singing "Jesus is Coming Soon" and "His Blood Washes Whiter Than Snow" today. And then we also have a strong message from chapter 9 of the book of Mark, and we have some testimonies. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint this service. Father, anoint this service that souls may be saved and the church may be strengthened and edified by your great power, your resurrection power, your resurrected, holy, eternal power, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that in the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody says amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, here they are, the Brothers Keepers, which is the Alamo Christian Quartet, singing "Jesus is Coming." So these boys made number one on the national charts in Cashbox. Their whole album was number one. Isn't that something? Go ahead.
Troublesome times are here,
filling men's
hearts with fear.
Freedom we all hold dear,
now is at stake.
Humbling your heart to God
saves from the chastening rod.
Seek the way
pilgrims trod, Christians away.
Jesus is coming soon,
morning or night or noon.
Many will meet
their doom.
Trumpets will sound.
So many cold, losing their homes of gold. Listen, God's word is told, evil's about. Many signs come to pass, nearing the end at last. It will come very fast, trumpets will sound.
Jesus is coming soon.
Lord, that was really good. No wonder they hit number one on the national charts. Amen?
Amen.
There isn't a group that compares to them. All filled at that time with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we have some testimonials from outside. Where's the first one from?
It was a call to our 24-hour prayer and information line.
All right.
A man by the name of Lenny called. He said he goes out to his vehicle every night to listen to Pastor Tony on the radio. He loves the radio program because Tony tells it like it is and explains so much from the Bible. He also asked if we could pray for the Lord to bind the devil against the government agencies that are harassing him and his family.
Okay, well, you know, we will pray, Father, bind the devil that is attacking this man from the government, the Roman government within our government. And Lord, let this follower of yours realize that we've been called to carry a cross, to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him. All through the life of Jesus, he carried the cross, and then he was crucified. But with us, we have to be crucified first, and then after we're crucified, we have to carry the cross. So it's just the opposite with us. Jesus carried the cross all throughout his life. In other words, he bore the cross. He never... and the cross, a lot of people think of the cross as something that is suffering. You didn't suffer on the cross. Do you? Huh? Does anybody know? No, you don't suffer on the cross. What you do is you're supposed to die there. Die. And that's the problem with so many people that are suffering. They haven't died yet. When you go before a firing squad, do you go there to suffer?
No.
When they put a noose around your neck and they lower the, you know, loose the trap door, do you suffer?
No.
What do?
You die.
You die. When they put the needle in your arm and they've got you strapped down, whether it's for something that you did or something that you didn't do, you don't suffer. You die. They put you in the gas chamber. You don't suffer. You die. And, you know, it's for sure, when Jesus went to the cross, he didn't suffer. He died. Amen?
Amen.
He was crucified. Now, the method of death to the Romans is crucifixion. And bearing the cross and crucifixion are two different things. Bearing the cross is... what Jesus did all of his life since he was a little boy. He bore the cross. In other words, he kept himself... he was given the ability, of course, because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And it was the Holy Spirit in him that gave him the ability to be able to bear the cross all of his life. So bearing the cross and crucifixion are two different things. After he bore the cross all of his life, then he bore the cross, the wooden cross, and he carried it up to Golgotha. Then, after this, they put the cross into the ground, but before that, they nailed him to the cross, and then they put him up, and that was the crucifixion. So the difference between crucifixion and bearing the cross and crucifixion is two different things. Now, so he bore the cross all of his life. Now, we have never borne the cross until we get saved. But he was crucified at the end of his life, but at the beginning of our eternal life, we are crucified with him. And then after we're crucified, then we bear the cross. When we're crucified and we bear the cross, we're not going to be suffering. Suffering is for people that haven't died yet. People that suffer, they're the ones that cannot take rebuke. They can't take reproof because they're not dead. They're still alive to the world. But bearing the cross that Jesus did, he was dead to the world. He became he was the witness, the main witness, the true and faithful witness of the Lord. He bore the cross and even was faithful to the time that he was crucified. But when we come to the Lord to be saved, he crucifies us. His death comes upon our former life, the actual life that we were living in the world, and crucifies us because we see then that we must hate the world. We cannot love the world. The Lord says, love not the world. And this man, see, I've been, this church has been under the persecution of the devil
which is the Roman Catholic government in this government. The news media has kept us, has been crucifying us, so to speak. But we had to be crucified the minute we accept the Lord, because that's what the Lord means by count the cost. Count the cost that you must pay before you say, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to bear the cross after you crucify me. Crucify means, he says, now, take up the cross and bear it after you are saved. Take up your cross and deny yourself. This is bearing the cross, because we have to apply the cross to our lives in our self-pity. And that's impossible to do, to be crucified or to bear the cross, unless we first experience the resurrection from the dead by the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is in people, they no longer feel sorry for themselves, because they're dead. Morto. Istafa morto. Señor, or, you're dead. You didn't get crucified to suffer. You got crucified to die. Amen?
Amen.
The cross is death. And so we must bear the cross, and we must apply the cross of Christ to every problem that we have. If we talk too much and we don't know what we're saying, put the cross to it. Amen? Because there isn't anything that you or I can say. Opinions, your opinions and your ideas are a part of the old man that's still left in you. You got opinions? Crucify them. You have ideas? Crucify them. Because your ideas and your opinions are garbage. They're actually self-expression of the old man in you. The old man. The devil. So, with your take your opinions and crucify them. Murder them with the cross of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
If you want to live the resurrected life on a continuous basis, on a day-to-day basis, you have to take the cross to every aspect of yourself. Your self-opinions, your self-ideas, everything that is self, and bear the cross as Jesus did before he was crucified. You must be crucified first to death, and then by the Holy Spirit resurrecting you from death unto life, you're able, you have the power, or a lot of people call it grace, the power of Christ in you with the Father by the Spirit, to live a crucified life and to be able to apply the cross or the crucifixion of the Holy Spirit to your ideas and your stinky opinions. No one is interested in my opinion or my ideas. They only want to hear the Lord coming out of my mouth, because if it doesn't, then what good is my opinions or ideas or who I think the best football team is, or basketball team, or did I watch the basketball game the other day? No, I didn't. I'm dead to the things of this world. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you're not one of us. You're right. I'm not. I'm one with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord says to put the cross to the world, to put the cross to your flesh, your ideas, your opinions. Take up the cross and follow me. Deny yourself. Well, because of the fact that people never deny themselves, they're just full of their own opinions, and they have their opinion about what I say that's coming directly from the Lord, or what the Lord says in his Bible. We're not, you know, when people first start reading the Bible, a lot of them are not, they have all kinds of wild, erroneous things. They like to make up even what the scriptures are saying. But we have to crucify those ideas and those opinions so that our opinions and ideas are dead, and that we're receiving the Bible, the Word of God, exactly as it's written. And so we have to also read into the scriptures that we're going to be persecuted if we're going to be saved. And we're not to be weary of well-doing. In other words, by the Holy Spirit, given the ability by the Lord to carry the cross, to crucify our ideas and our opinions. You know, when somebody rebukes and reproves us, if you're really not of the Lord, I mean, you just get crushed. You're crushed. You don't consider it a kindness, as the psalmist David said he did. What you do is consider it something against yourself, your flesh, your person. But you're supposed to be dead, friend. If you're easily offended by a reproof that comes from the Lord, well, then you're not dead yet. You must apply the cross to whatever offends you. The only thing that offends me is the devil, and he doesn't really bother me that much either, because I know how to apply the cross to him. All right, I've been thoroughly trained in bearing the cross, and I've been crucified with Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, I bear the cross. He says, I'm dead. He says, and you must die also. If there's anything in this world that offends you, even the government coming after me, I just count it all joy, because I know then that I'm really saved, because the Lord said that all those that suffer persecution, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so I say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, I'm saved. You know?
Amen.
And so when I hear people complaining, you know, of course we say, look, bind the devil. Ask the Lord to do something. But the first thing people need to do is examine their self to see whether they're dead to the world and alive in Christ, or if they're alive in the flesh and not dead to the Lord. And if that's happening in your life, then what you need to do is make sure that you get crucified, and then take up the cross, your cross, on a daily basis, and deny yourself so that God will straighten out your environment for you. Like I was saying before, that the Lord creates an environment for you, the things of the Lord, and he molds us and makes us into what he wants us to be. So he can't do that in a person that's alive and full of self-pity. He can't mold you and make you. If you say, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Mold me and make me in the image of you, Lord. Mold me. I yield myself unto you. And like the Apostle Paul, he said he counted it all joy that persecutions and sometimes lack of food and lack of these things or the things of this world are not his. But the Lord sometimes puts us through a test to see that, to check us out to see it, so that we can know that we're saved, that we know that we're dead to the world and resurrected in the Holy Spirit. If we're not willing to be resurrected from the Holy Spirit, which means we're dead to our flesh, our ideas, and our opinions, if we're not willing to do that, well, then we're wasting our time. You're never going to go to heaven. You might as well resign yourself to the fact that you're going to go to hell. Now, these are spiritual things that I'm talking to you about, not carnal. People talk about carnal things all day long. People full of pride, you know, pride goes before a fall. They want to tell leaders that God has called, that's so well versed in the scriptures, they want to tell them what they're supposed to do. And if they retaliate back and say, look, get out of my hair, you know, get out of my coffin and get into your own coffin, die out to yourself, your opinions and your ideas, and receive the Word of God, the pure, clear, clean, powerful Word of God, and live. The Lord said his Word is like a fire. Does this fire burn in you, or does your own self-opinions and ideas and your hurt burn in you? I've been put through so much fire that there isn't very much anybody can do to hurt me or offend me, because if I count it all joy, well then, you know, what could offend me? Anything you do to me is joy. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you don't like the way I preach or teach? Well, then who cares what you think? That's your opinion. That's your idea. But I know I'm preaching the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go to the ninth chapter. There's one more testimony. Go ahead and read
it. From Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor, I am very grateful to communicate to you that I have accepted Christ as my Savior after reading through your book with the title The Messiah.
So he's been crucified. Amen?
Amen.
And now he's full of zeal, and he's full of the Spirit of the Lord, and is now bearing the cross, and is willing to bear the cross, and is willing to let the cross be put to his ideas and his opinions. You know, to kill every other thing that comes to you other than the gospel. Okay, then what?
The reason is that I had been a Muslim for about 23 years, and I have now realized and see the light of the Word.
Yeah, I just did a two-hour radio interview with some, what was the name of that website?
Arctic Beacon.
The Arctic Beacon. I just did it a few minutes ago, and they have a website. Do you know what the website is?
It's arcticbeacon.com, but the actual...
Arcticbeacon.com.
But it was on Republic National Radio.
So it was on Republic Dash?
National.
National Radio. All right. So while I was on, some of the followers were in the other part of the building listening to it. It was coming on just live, and I love to do live interviews. And I'm going to be on again a week after this coming Monday. So I'm looking forward to that. And then from this broadcast, another person from around Virginia Beach, around Norfolk, Virginia, called and wants me to be on his radio program as well. And so this thing is taking off. I'm not trying to open up any door of my own. I'm just letting the Lord open up the doors, because me... personally, I'm mortal. I'm dead. Anything that's coming from me has to come from the Holy Spirit. Okay?
Amen.
Okay, so finish this one.
I have now realized and see the light of the Word that the only way to go to heaven is to accept Christ as your Savior.
Yeah, and Christ, accepting Christ as a Savior is accepting the Word. And His Word says, now after you've been crucified with me, now that you're crucified with Christ, His crucifixion is now upon you. Now take up your personal cross, deny yourself, and follow after me. Follow after me. And who is me? Jesus is the Word of God. Follow me. Because he that believeth the whole Word and does what the Word says, they shall be saved. And as long as they continue on to the end. Anyone gets that discouraged before they just throw in the towel? They want to be with mama or sister or brother or anyone else, and they want to just throw in the towel. You're just signing your own death warrant according to the me that we're talking about here, Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead.
I have now realized and see the light of the Word that the only way to go to heaven is to accept Christ as your Savior and follow His commandments. I now believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. As of now, I don't have any Bible and prefer if you can send a Holy Bible to me. From your magazine or booklet, I read that you stated anyone who can't afford to buy one should write to you for one and more literature. I want to read about the Lord Jesus Christ, so try to send me one Bible and other books. As of now, I have been attending church at Liberty Chapel in Accra. Through that church, I have your literature read to me. May God richly bless you. Yours faithfully, Christopher, from Sefwi, Bekwai, Ghana, Africa.
Okay, so the inward anointing of the Holy Spirit is sufficient for you to be obedient unto the Lord, because you're no longer living according to your flesh. If you're living according to the flesh, there isn't anything that you can do that would be worthy of there isn't anything you can say that is worthy of being heard. There isn't anything that you can do that would be worthy of seeing it. So the Holy Spirit is sufficient, because this Holy Spirit, everything in the world was made by the Holy Spirit, and the Bible plainly tells us that Jesus is the Holy Spirit. He's also the Father. And so it was He, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Father, who created all things by His Word. And those that believe on the Word, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. Amen?
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Spirit and life, is sufficient to cause us to obediently die, to be for the obedient Christian. We can obediently be crucified, and then we can obediently carry the cross. And as I said, Jesus first bore the cross from his from when he was born, or in, he came to the age of accountability as a human, and then he was crucified at the end of his life, which ended his life, and then we are first crucified because we were not begotten by the Holy Spirit. We were born of man, and all of us were sinners. We've come short of the glory of God. But then when we come to the Lord and accept crucifixion, accept Him as our personal Savior by way of crucifixion, we're not to suffer. We must be dead, or we're never going to make it. And some people, that just bums them out. It bums them out. They say, no matter how hard I try. Let me tell you something. A dead person doesn't try. Amen?
Amen.
Have you ever gone to a coffin and seen a dead man try?
No.
Or a dead woman try? Or a dead boy or a girl try? No, because they can't. And you can't either. But if you think you're superior to God, then you're stupid and you don't know anything. And if you think that you can take the lead of a church away from a church leader and you're not dead, now you especially could never do anything like that. You're insane. So, again, the Holy Spirit makes you more than able to be obedient to the Lord, to be an obedient Christian. But if you're stubborn, if you are disobedient, the inner anointing, the time that you're rebellious, after time the Holy Spirit is compelled to arrange some environment to chasten and discipline you. You need it. Thereby causing you, or even myself, to submit to the Holy Spirit, the inward anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you follow the inward, the Word of God inwardly, and you're dead, you're resurrected inwardly, and you're not being disobedient to the Word of God, then all of a sudden, there's no need for the Lord to arrange some outside environment for you, for the outward discipline of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the anointing of the Holy Spirit within us is a very nice, pleasant act of the Lord God's love towards us in His original desire. He wants you to just, His original desire is that you're just led by the Holy Spirit. And if you are, there's no, you know, you're like the way that He originally created man, that was by the Holy Spirit, and put the Holy Spirit in him to live a godly life, to let God live out His life in him, and he would live forever. And so the Lord has given mankind a second chance so that you can be led inwardly by the Holy Spirit, so that you can do God's will for your own benefit. Because, you know, if you desire not to do that, you're the loser, not God. because God knows that you were a loser from the beginning of time, if that's what you want to be. We have a will in us, and we can desire or will to abide with the Lord, to comply with Him, and let Him lead us by the outward, the inward and outward anointing of the Holy Spirit. While the outward discipline of the Holy Spirit is an act of God's mighty hand, an act which He is compelled because of His loving nature to put the screws to you, hoping that it will wise you up to where you'll be crucified and then bear the cross. Amen?
Amen.
So it's His nature to perform something on us, which is the outward anointing of the Holy Spirit. It is something that God has added to it, to the inward anointing. Therefore, both in the original desire of God and in the New Testament teachings, the place of the discipline of the Holy Spirit is not as important as that of the anointing of the Holy Spirit within. But in the long run, it's just as important, because it puts you, if you're smart, you'll be put into shape. In God's Word, there's a lot that is said about the Holy Spirit as the anointing, such as the leading of the Holy Spirit, the guiding of the Holy Spirit, the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, the strengthening of the Holy Spirit, the need to live in the Holy Spirit, the according to the Holy Spirit, and bear fruit by walking in the Holy Spirit, by preaching in the Holy Spirit, and by teaching by the Holy Spirit. And it goes on and on. But the Bible, unless you study it very closely, you may say, tell us very little in the literal way. What I mean is just 1, 2, 3 way about the discipline of the Holy Spirit. The actual wordage of that does not appear. This is because the discipline of the Holy Spirit is not a matter which is easily pleasant to God as we know it. But when you get to know the Lord, you know that it is because if He sees the discipline of the Holy Spirit working, doing its job in and through you, then He is happy with you. Now, we have some scriptures to read from the 9th chapter of the book of Mark. And so let's start reading here.
And He, Jesus, said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power.
Okay, now, most people don't know what that means. You're not going to see, you have to be dead, don't you?
Yes.
So you're not going to see death until you see the kingdom of heaven entering into you. Do you understand? Right?
Amen.
This is
yes.
what I've been talking about?
Amen.
Okay? And some people say, well, He's saying that the kingdom of heaven is going to be here on earth, and it never happened. Oh, yes, it did. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven does not come with observation, but because the kingdom of heaven is within. Amen?
Amen.
And so He's saying to them, people, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven until you experience death. Amen?
Amen.
When you accept the fact that you have to die out to this world, then the kingdom of heaven enters into you and raises you out of this world to actually resurrects you out of your dead life. Amen?
Amen.
And you become alive, and therefore you're dead. Amen?
Amen.
So
That's what it is. Read that again.
And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death.
Okay. You're just going to reject the gospel. Then what?
Till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power.
Yeah, until you accept the kingdom of God within you. Amen?
Amen.
So you're not going to die until you see that happen. But when this kingdom of God enters into you, that's what I'm saying, and you become crucified, then you're dead to the world and to your flesh, to your own ideas and your own opinions, and you're resurrected from the dead, and now you believe in the Word of God rather than your ideas, opinions, and the feelings of your flesh. Because no man can see God and live. You have to die, and then you can be able to see God eye to eye, His Word. God is the Word. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus.
See, like, and Moses, he had to die before he could get into the promised land. He received his reproof, his rebuke. The Lord said, because of the fact that you hit the rock twice, you didn't show the reality of what I want people to know. I'm saying that the rock of ages, that when I step into humanity, when I step into carnation, into carne, into flesh, that's only going to happen once. And I'm going to die once for the world, not twice. And Moses hit the rock, which the rock is the Jesus is going to just be smitten once, and he hit it twice, and therefore the Lord said, you have to die because you took a very important type or figure or shadow of speaking that was going to happen and made it into something that isn't true. And because of that, you're going to have to die. Now, if you receive your death as a reproof and you realize that you did wrong and you repent right now, you'll still be able to go into the Holy Land. And he did. He was right there in the Holy Land speaking to Jesus, amen, with
amen.
Elijah, right?
Amen.
Isn't that revealing? And then what?
And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him.
Right, Moses, you don't have to die out to Moses. You don't have to die out to Elijah, because Moses and Elijah had to depend on the Lord to get their eternal life themselves. Amen?
Amen.
So there's no life in them other than the life that the Lord gave them. They're not able, unless they preach to you, to impart life into you. But we can impart the life into you by preaching the Word if you accept it. But if you don't accept the Word, which says you must die, you must be crucified, you must, after crucifixion, bear the cross, take it up and deny yourself. After that, well, you know, if you receive that, then you'll be saved too. Amen?
Amen.
But Moses, you know, I don't, other than the Word of God that the Lord, by the Spirit, teaches through me or preaches through me, I have nothing in me other than the Lord that can give you life. It's the Word of God. The Lord is the Word of God. Then what?
And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man any more, save Jesus only with themselves.
Right, because there isn't anybody really but Jesus only.
Amen.
But Jesus is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he was also the Son of Man in that body, that physical body that he had. Okay, and that's so hard. It's so simple. But it's so hard for people to grasp that Jesus is everything. Everything that is godly is included in that man, Jesus.
Because Jesus was a normal man. You say, well, he was begotten by the Holy Spirit. So are we. What do you mean? The Holy Spirit is the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so God said, let us make man in our image. So we are because of the result of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God that God preached to Adam and to the ground, to each other, right? He says, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image. In our image, let us make man. So because of what he said, we were created. Because what he told Mary, he was conceived in her womb. And so, what's the difference? Amen?
Amen.
But we, because Adam and Eve sinned, every person then that was born into the world was a sinner. Because sin was born into the world through humanity. And so they lost their contact with the Lord. They lost the spirit of eternal spirit of God, the eternal life. And they were without hope until God told them that he was going to come into the world as a man. He was going to step into incarnation. And then he'd shed his blood. He'd bear the cross all of his life so that he didn't commit a sin. Because that's the power of the Holy Spirit in him that caused that. And now we are crucified first. And then the Holy Spirit comes into us, into our spirit, and mingles himself there and gives us the ability to be able to keep the commandments as Jesus did. Because it's the same power of the Lord Jesus with his Father by the Spirit that was in him. Exactly the same. The Bible said, if the same Spirit of God, which is the triune God, is in you, that raised Jesus from the dead, then you'll also be raised up from the dead. But if you turn your back on God, or if you reject it, that same Spirit's not going to be in you. So God has given you the same opportunity that he gave Jesus. And he gives you even a better one, because Jesus had to die for your sin. So that one might say, well, God loves us more than Jesus, because we didn't have to be crushed and smashed and our beard pulled out and our beaten into unrecognition to where people couldn't even tell that we're a human being. But that happened to Jesus. So you say, how could anybody do that to their own son? I couldn't. Well, you're not God. God is different than you and I. Amen?
Amen.
So don't try to judge God by you, because that's the old man cropping out with your opinion again and your idea of what's right and wrong. God is right.
Amen.
Now, when Peter in this chapter told him, no, you're not to be crucified, God, let it be far from thee, the Lord said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, because you savorest the things of men and not the things of God. And so, therefore, he had to be crucified. He had to bear the cross all of his life. He had to be crucified, and we have to be crucified and then bear the cross. Otherwise, there's no chance for you to enter the kingdom of God. And you're not going to hear this any otherwise anywhere else.
Amen.
All right? And that's the real truth. And you read the Bible, we're reading this chapter right here. All right? Chapter 9 of Mark. Go ahead.
And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead.
So right there he was telling people, he's going to die. He had to die. You have to die. I have to die. Or we can't be resurrected from the dead by the Holy Spirit. Obedience to the Holy Spirit. Dying out to the flesh, to the opinions and our self-sufficiency and our ideas is required before the Holy Spirit can enter into us. And we're going to make some mistakes down along the line, but not sins, and not knowing sins. But the Holy Spirit is you processing us in the truth. We grow. I know a lot more today than I did yesterday. And I sure know a lot more than I did when I first got saved. I mean, I'm growing in power. Amen?
Amen.
And you have to do the same thing. And the more you die out now, the more powerful you're going to be. The ideas, and whatever the Lord wants to do with you, he can do it with you, only if you are crucified and then bearing the cross. Because he'll use you in a magnificent way. I don't want to stop you. I've opened up several churches before I was supposed to when I first got saved. I took a lot of newborn Christians and sent them out to Central America. And then over to Chicago and all over the place. And they all couldn't do it. And so they came back. And that was before I realized that they really have to go through this growing process. And this dying out process more and more every day. It doesn't happen all at once. If it hasn't happened to you yet, don't be discouraged. You have to be patient, okay? Patience is a virtue. And tribulation bringeth patience. So this young man that wrote in and says, pray us because of the government oppression. Be patient, my friend. Amen?
Amen.
Because you're getting virtue every minute of the day when you're being persecuted. I'm being persecuted for 42 years, 42 and a half years, and I've just praised and thanked the Lord for it because it's given me some patience, but I'm not patient against Satan, okay? Because when Satan comes, I pray to God, and I pray that God will destroy him. Okay, what else?
And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, it means that you're resurrected by the Holy Spirit. They weren't dead yet themselves. Okay, keep going. They had to die. Amen?
Amen.
Die out to the crucifixion of Christ and then be resurrected and then begin bearing the cross and following Jesus. Okay, what else?
And they asked him, saying, why say the scribes that Elias must first come? And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first, and restoreth all things. And how it is written of the Son of Man, that he must suffer many things, and be set at naught. But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. And
when Elias is John the Baptist. Okay, going back to chapter 8 in Mark, we're going to read regarding Jesus rebuking Peter because he didn't want him to die. The whole thing, and the only way we can die is by the Holy Spirit giving us the power to be able to do so. You have to desire to keep the commandments of the Lord to die as much as Jesus did. Now, listen to the words of Jesus where he rebukes and calls Peter Satan, rebukes Peter and calls him Satan because he didn't want him to die. You have to be that eager to want to die as well because there's no way you're going to get into the kingdom of heaven or no way that you're going to cause other people to get into the kingdom of heaven. If the Holy Spirit is not in you, and he won't enter you until you die, until you're crucified, you go to the crucifix of Christ, and you're crucified there, and then take up your cross. Okay, go ahead and read. Now, this is chapter 8, verses where?
Verse 31 through 38.
Okay, go ahead.
And he, Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again.
So you have to be killed. You have to be killed, dude. You think that Jesus... There's a song, should Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men.
Yeah, get me thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things of God. Don't you know that if you want to serve God, you have to do what he says? And he says, die! Be crucified. Go to the cross with Christ. That's where salvation is found. And then, if you are crucified, then I can raise you from the dead. God can't raise a live person from the dead because you're not dead yet. A seed sown into the ground has to die and rot, and then the glory of it comes up like a flower. The flower, the glory of the flower, is hid in the seed. The seed has to be planted dead before it can come up and be glorious. Okay, then what?
And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me.
Ooh-wee. It comes after me. In other words, you come to my crucifixion. Amen?
Amen.
If you're going to do that, well then, deny yourself, and take up your cross, and follow me. Follow me to bearing the cross, okay? Go back to where I was when I was born, and I bore the cross, and then I was crucified. Now you be crucified, and now bear the cross for the rest of your life. Deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. There's no happiness in the Lord unless you do that. But you'll find a rewarding life. Okay, then what?
For whosoever will save his life.
Oh, so if you don't be crucified, if you save your life, oh, I'm just so afraid to die out, I'm going to miss something from this old world. Then what?
Shall lose it.
If you save your life, if you don't die out, if you're not crucified and then start bearing your own cross and following after Christ, you're going to lose your life, your eternal life, because the Lord's Spirit will not remain mingled in your spirit. And that power will not be there. The life, the everlasting life, will not be there unless you do that. Then what?
But whosoever shall lose his life.
In other words, die, get crucified, and then get resurrected from the dead so that you have the power to bear the cross and follow the Lord, the Word. Then what?
For my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it.
Amen.
For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
What profit will it be if you gained all kinds of things in the world? You're not going to take anything into the kingdom of heaven with you. You're not getting to the kingdom. You're not going to take one penny out of this world, no matter where you go. And so therefore, it's better to just, you know, forget about rich anything in this world. You know, enjoying everyday life like these false prophets teach you. No, you enjoy yourself in the Holy Spirit. That's the way to enjoy everyday life in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Not in the world. Okay, and then what?
Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
All right, and so you're not going to be resurrected from the dead unless you first die. Again, you can't be dead unless you die. Amen?
Amen.
So you die out to this world. There's nothing that's going to profit you eternally in this world. Nothing. So die out and believe the gospel and believe Christ. Be resurrected from the dead. Take up the cross, your cross, and follow the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and if you'd like a copy of this message, this is message 327. Sharon's going to tell you right now how to receive a copy of it. Four different ways. Go ahead.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo, Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. Now what we want to do is, you want to be saved, you must be born again, the Lord said, of the Spirit, in order for you to have the power to continue on in this world and live eternally. So say this prayer. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and he's going to raise me from the dead life that I'm living by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. praise the Lord. Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. And continue. Get baptized in water, fully submerged. And then be baptized with the Holy Spirit and continue reading the Word. Continue serving the Lord, carrying the cross, your cross, and also denying yourself. Okay, here's the Alamo Christian Quartet to sing. He's the Brothers Keepers to sing, "His Blood Washes Whiter Than Snow."
Sweet!